This year, friends, there's an unfortunate coalescing of April Fool's Day and Easter. Doesn't happen very often. Last happened in, maybe you remember this, 1956. Look for it next in 2029. I say unfortunate because we know April 1st as a day for pranks and tricks. But of course, we also know that Easter is no prank, no trick. It's the real thing. Easter is, in fact, the pivotal teaching of the Christian faith. Resurrection. Other facts about Jesus' life are interesting and intriguing, but his resurrection is crucial. His death was very public, and word of the resurrection spread through the testimony of the early witnesses. Oh yes, there was some effort made to suppress that word about the resurrection. There was a story also circulated by others who claimed that, in fact, Jesus' body had been stolen by his disciples and taken away so that the resurrection that he had talked about could be discounted, that it could be discredited. But too many saw and believed for the truth to be hidden or suppressed. You see, it's not only that we celebrate at Easter a historic event, for we do, it happened. But we celebrate something that really is far more personal than that. I mean, in our lives, we celebrate many historical events. And today, however, on an Easter Sunday, we celebrate something that is not just an interesting thing from the past that ought to be remembered, but what we celebrate is something which totally transforms our perspective and our outlook on both life and death. You see, without the resurrection, Christianity's teaching about grace, though appealing, is stripped of its power. Because it is the word of resurrection, life out of death, that makes it all different and so compelling. Very briefly this morning, I want to draw your attention back to that portion from 1 Peter chapter 1 that Paul read for us this morning. Peter, you see, was one of those eyewitnesses, one who saw for himself. The lesson I read from Luke's gospel just introduces Peter into the scene as one who went to the tomb after hearing the word, the testimony of the women, which he, with others, greatly doubted. But that was the beginning of Peter's journey into belief in the resurrected Christ. So compelling was it for Peter that his whole life was thenceforth built around sharing that news in the world. Peter uses some interesting terms to speak about the resurrection. Let me just go over them again. In his letter, he says, "By his great mercy, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has given to us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, we use that expression, new birth, to speak about people coming to faith. Jesus had that conversation with Nicodemus about being born again, starting life afresh. And interestingly, here that concept of birth is associated by Peter with our hope, our living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you know what that really means? It means that in Peter's understanding of faith, that at the very time when we come to believe, that we actually begin to enjoy and celebrate the triumph of life over death. It's not something we have to wait for in the future. We, in fact, grow into it until our mortal bodies are left behind and that life is there unencumbered for us. Oh, Peter was quite a realist. He understood that even with this truth about Jesus now alive, victorious over death, a very public death, that there were still trials, there were still struggles. As long as we inhabit these mortal bodies, there are pains and aches and frustrations and trials and tribulations. Some of them seem monumental and others rather incidental, although in the strange reality of human experience, the incidental ones sometimes almost take over and drain our energy and our thoughts. But Peter said, you know, in this hope, in this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, in this we rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have to suffer various trials. These trials are not a contradiction. They are just the contrast between mortal bodies and resurrected bodies in Christ. And so, yes, as long as we inhabit this earth, there will be struggles. Peter could testify to that from his own experience. But in no way did those difficulties and struggles impede his confidence and his trust and his joy in the resurrection that he knew was his in Christ. Peter, referring to this joy, says, "Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." You know, Peter says words really fail me. How do we describe the joy that belongs to God's people in Christ's resurrection and their own anticipation and their own hope in the risen Christ? There's joy and rejoicing, but finding adequate words really escapes us. Because the very best of descriptions which we can offer are only an anticipation of what we have yet to experience. So friends, my greeting at the beginning of the service, that you might have glorious joy as you celebrate the resurrection, and that it might be indescribable, is really just conveying what Peter conveys to us in his letter, that we may, in the midst of all the turmoils of life and this world in which we live, that we might even now begin to enjoy and appreciate and anticipate the fullness of life that is ours in Christ. And those things then pass into their proper place and significance because life has overcome death. And so for us, the perils of life lose their fear. Death no longer keeps us in bondage because the Lord is risen and we in him are risen also. And even now that assurance is ours, well, we have some time yet to sojourn in this place and in these mortal bodies we inhabit. The victory's there. It's already accomplished. And we anticipate the full experience of it that is yet to come. So let your joy be unrestrained. And even if you can't adequately describe your joy or explain it, that's quite all right. Peter had the same problem. And he was there and saw firsthand. And he built his life around it. And we may also. So friends, go out from this place with a little more bounce in your step. For oppression and death are not victors. In Christ, life is triumphant. And we are the benefactors of his grace. This surely is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.